Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
Hot is sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's a Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Yeah, Dave on Tuesday is with us. And Dave, Sam Dog down in Georgia has a message for you. He says, tell Gator Dave not to look past Missouri. They'll sneak up on you, and they'll also chop block you. Just a little warning there from Sam Dog.
Yeah. I saw that. And talking about the game, of course. Bill going into Columbia, Missouri on a Saturday night can be tricky, and Florida's had trouble with Missouri anyway, Bill, ever since they've come into the SEC. That's one team that, Florida hasn't been what we know Florida to be at times, but Missouri has come in and given Florida all they can handle many, many times since they have joined the SEC. So, yeah, hopefully Florida's not overlooking them. Bill, you go to that game, you start looking at Missouri, and that was at least up to this point an outlier. They probably should have beat Auburn the week before, but did not look good in that game, particularly. Got blown out by Kansas State earlier this year as well. So you could definitely say they played up to the level of competition Saturday night against Georgia. But at this point, it's an outlier, and then we'll see what they can do Saturday in the Swamp.
Dave, I had the Eastern Washington game on. I it was hard to focus. I really didn't get a whole lot out of it. What did you see?
Bill, at least, and no matter the opponent, because you go back to that Kentucky game for Anthony Richardson, and it doesn't matter who Florida was playing that day. Anthony Richardson just couldn't hit a pass. He could have been playing against a high school team that day, and he just wasn't accurate at all. So at least we didn't get that, reversion back to a subpar day from Anthony Richardson. Now, of course, the opponent comes into play, but he looked good. And like I said, it didn't matter who he was playing a couple weeks ago. It was going to be a bad performance. So at least now another game where Anthony Richardson looks pretty good. Did get dinged up a little. It did look like an Eastern Washington player went down low and looked like he was tugging at the ankle there of Anthony Richardson. So he comes out, and then backup quarterback Jalen Kitler comes in, and they let him throw it right away, Bill. They trusted the backup quarterback to come in, and he probably looked better than I not necessarily say I thought he would, but I just wasn't sure how they would use the backup quarterback in this scenario. So he comes in a little bit earlier than expected to take over for Anthony Richardson for a couple plays here or there, and then comes and plays in the second half as well. So I don't know how much it answered that Florida has a backup quarterback, but at least you saw a good performance from the backup quarterback and not a bad performance. So, we'll see what that means for the future there for Florida, Bill. But offense could do whatever they wanted to versus Eastern Washington. And, Bill, once again, the worry is the defense still. Eastern Washington gained over 400 yards, and they only had 17 points. But they drove up and down the field on Florida. Florida had a bend-don't-break mentality even against Eastern Washington. But, Bill, they can't win up front. There are some issues on this defensive line, and it was a big issue coming into this season, and where you could really only circle Dermond Dexter as a proven SEC player, and where would the young guys step up? Well, in a lot of ways, the young guys have kind of stepped up, and Dermond Dexter's been kind of a ghost this year. He's had very, very little impact, at least impact plays. I know he's getting double and even triple teamed at times, but even with times he's not making plays. So Dermond Dexter's not necessarily kind of living up to the expectation, but it's not just him. Britton Cox is up and down. He's a better player than he was, but still not as consistent. And he played good the other day, but they took him out and saved him. Ventrell Miller kind of the same. Started out good. They took him out. A lot of young guys got into the game versus Eastern Washington. But Billy's just been a kind of constant now that they can't get pressure up front. It affects the whole defense. And giving up over 400 yards to Eastern Washington, certainly not something you wanted to see, even with a lot of young players getting playing time.
Gator Dave, Gators Breakdown with us every Tuesday. Missouri's coming up. Got some good games. That Arkansas game, well, last week was very good. The Arkansas-Alabama game, for a while it was, and then Alabama pulled away. You've got this LSU-Tennessee game happening inside the league. You've got the Aggies and Alabama. Interesting matchups. Dave, what are you seeing in the SEC as we go into week six?
Yeah, Bill, I think that LSU-Tennessee game is definitely circled. Kind of upset that game's at the same time as Florida-Missouri, so I'll have to go back and watch it. But, yeah, definitely, you know, Florida playing Tennessee last week and now LSU next week. So you want to get an idea of maybe what we see from LSU, how much have they grown from that FSU loss earlier in the season. You know, got down big to Auburn. Well, I think 17-0, came back and won that game. You know, so does that carry over into this Tennessee game? And I know LSU really wanted that night game there. So there's that early kickoff. Does that stunt both teams? Does one team take advantage? I don't know. I mean, that's I lean Tennessee there, and you know, setting up a maybe collision course with Georgia down further on this season. That's a game I'm circled there. You know, how does Kentucky bounce back from their first loss to Bill here in the East? I mean, probably a game they could have, should have, would have won versus Ole Miss in a lot of ways, but fell short there. So, LSU Tennessee, Bill, I think that can go a long way. You can look at that. If LSU wins that game, you could say, well, okay, the FSU game was maybe a mirage. They're a little maybe ahead of schedule. They're better than what we thought. Or Tennessee goes and wins, you know, like I said, you know, kind of sets up that collision course with Alabama, with Georgia. And I think, you know, even though LSU is not traditional LSU, you sit there and say, you know, Tennessee goes on the road and wins that game. And I think, you know, you start taking them as more of a contender. I don't want to say national contender, but a contender there to, you know, maybe give Georgia more of a threat this year than maybe we thought coming into the season.
Are you surprised at the way Georgia's currently playing?
Maybe a little, Bill. I still think the Kent State game a couple weeks ago was probably a little bit of sleepwalking there. And like I said, going into Columbia on a Saturday night can be tricky or whatever. But, you know, now that is two games in a row. So I do think, you know, you start looking at something you know, what's going on? Are there heads in it? Is there a hangover from a national championship last year? I know that's kind of the easy thing to maybe point to that we see from teams that go and win a national championship and what happens the year after. Bill, I think the worry would be that, I mean, they got beat up front a lot versus Missouri. Probably the first half and going into the third quarter, and then, you know, the defense clamped down, made Missouri settle for field goals. You just kind of knew that game was going along. If Missouri couldn't put it in the end zone, they were going to have some issues. But, I'd probably say, you know, looking at that offense, and you know, maybe Stetson taking a step back from where we saw him at the beginning of the season, and that might kind of just be in relation to just getting beat up front a whole lot. And we saw that in the Missouri game.
Gator Dave with us. What's the mood around Florida State in Miami right now?
Florida State, I guess, Bill, you know, this is their stretch. They had that really good start to the season, and definitely started better than I think a lot of people thought they would. But now it was just like, okay, well, now what's going to happen when they play the upper teams in the ACC? Didn't pass their first test, you know, close loss to Wake. You know, they've been coming back there and making that a game. You know, Wake got off to a good start, and FSU fought back, and then now they get the Clemson leftover again. Last week it was Lake Forest, now it's NC State. on the road this time, so you see where FSU bounces back. They are a better team build than what we thought they would be coming into this year. And you know, I think you get this win over NC State, I think you can start feeling pretty good about yourselves again if you're Florida State, kind of like what you felt going into the game versus Wake Forest. And Miami, Bill, it's just how do you bounce back versus that big loss versus Middle Tennessee State a couple weeks ago. Definitely a loss that caught everybody by surprise, especially the fashion it happened. And I think the mood there has definitely calmed down a bit after a loss to a team you had no business losing to, and in that fashion where Middle Tennessee State basically just did whatever they wanted to. So for Miami, it's just bouncing back, and you know, are they into the season, Bill, after that disappointing loss? It's still early. You hope it doesn't have a lingering effect, but that was pretty much an inexcusable loss there for Miami.
Does Alabama return to their dominance?
Oh, Bill, I thought they'd be really good this year. That defense is, I think, starting to, you know, maybe live up to some expectations. I know Arkansas came back, too. It was kind of a weird flow to that game with Bryce Young going down. We found out that, you know, they probably got another backup quarterback that's just ready to go. You know, and that's no surprise there. They just stacked quarterbacks there. Bill Rowe definitely showed more, you know, plays with his legs than his arms. I think, Bill, you start leaning on Jahmyr Gibbs a little bit. I thought he would be a difference maker in that backfield for Alabama. And those two big runs he had was, you know, basically what I expected to see throughout his career. Not really going to do it at Georgia Tech a whole lot. Now he's on the big stage at Alabama. Did it there in the spotlight. So, Bill, they got up so quick versus Arkansas. Arkansas, give them credit for fighting back. You know, I didn't think they'd have that in them there, but that game did kind of change a little bit. Dominance, Bill, I'm not ready to say it just yet, but, you know, but I looked at Alabama's schedule yesterday, Bill, and it's tough. And like I said, Tennessee's probably a little bit better. And that schedule is getting ramped up. I think they handled Texas A&M pretty easy this week. But after that, Alabama's got some games on the road where we know they have struggled. So that they get through this next, you know, month and a half, Bill, they'll be set up pretty nice for making a run towards late in the season if they get through that stretch.
Tell everybody how they can get their hands on your podcast, all your content.
Yep, Bill, everybody can get my podcast, newsforjacks.com/GatorsBreakdown, your YouTube podcast version out there as well. Really, last night, taking a look at the Florida offense with the good that's going on there, and then diving into the defense, too, all the issues that we see there on that side of the ball, and not really sure if there's any answers right now, Bill.
Appreciate it, man. See you next week.
See you, Bill.
Gator Dave joins us every Tuesday. Griff in about an hour from the AJC's Dog Nation. Mike Griffith, later hour 3. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. The police on the scene of an accident in South Nashville on Burkett Road at OHB there in Antioch. It's already busy on Nolensville Pike right now, trying to get out of Nolensville up by Concord Road. It's pretty heavy as we check it out live here on 65 up through Spring Hill, working your way up to 840. All that traffic flow coming out of Murray County. Obrey Gatlinburg Restaurant and Lounge is celebrating Oktoberfest all this month. You don't want to miss it. Check it out at obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Hey guys, it's Zach. Football season is underway, so now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Because right now, new customers can get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's free bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just sign up with the promo code TAS. You can always do one of my favorites, the same game parlays. Makes a lot of money real quick. Or take a look at the live betting options. You'll get live updates on games that have already started. That's something I really enjoy. I think it's done best with FanDuel, all on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So sign up today with promo code TAS for your no sweat first bet. That promo code again is TAS. Make every moment more this season with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 and up and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued with non-withdrawable free bets that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call TN Redline 1-800-889-9789.
When was the last time you did something fun with family, friends, coworkers, and clients? What if I told you about a place under one roof that offers affordable entertainment for all ages? That's what you'll find at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers in Donelson, Hermitage, Tusculum, Hendersonville, and Murfreesboro, with bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. Enjoy an enhanced experience in Hendersonville or Murfreesboro, where they feature additional fun with bumper cars, laser tag, roller skating, and more. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. Visit online at strikeandspare.com. Strike and Spare, where fun is bowling.
You have a 90% chance of surviving a lightning strike. You have a 98% chance of surviving a shark attack. You have a 99% chance of surviving a snake bite. But you only have a 50% chance of surviving a crash if you aren't wearing a seatbelt. Your truck may be tough, but a seatbelt makes it tougher. Buckle up in your truck. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Jim Rome is here weekdays 11 to 2 on Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR.
The SEC is for closers, and there's only one way to survive in the SEC, ABC. A, always, B, B, C, closing, always be closing.
A, B, C, A, always, B, B, C, closing, always be closing.
Jim Rome, 11 to 2 on Nashville's original sports radio, WNSR.
Get into the Bill King Show, 615-844-5600. He doesn't charge by the minute.
Be with us, and Brett Ciancia will check in. That's what we have scheduled for the Wednesday edition. Chubby checking in this morning says, Bill, rumor has it that Hollywood's next Ocean's 14 movie is about the heists pulled by Jimbo and Mel Tucker. Can you confirm this? Well, considering I don't watch movies and I don't have anything to do with Hollywood, I probably wouldn't be able to confirm that. But your point is both have a 100 milli deal and neither appears to be busting a grape. That's your point, right? I don't see the grapes that have been busted. I don't see the juice after the squeeze, right? It's supposed to produce some juice. I don't see it. Metaphorically speaking, of course. And that is his point. A&M's got to go to Alabama. They're a 23-24-point underdog. They don't generate offense. Jimbo is very stubborn. Now, Jimbo historically has been a good quarterback coach. And critiqued about his play calling abilities. That's where the critique is. Now, I don't know what that fixes. A&M doesn't have a lot of playmakers right now that are performing, at least, that are making chunk plays for them. Quarterback is maybe average, and that's maybe, and that's me being nice. Doesn't matter which one they put in. Maybe. They've got one running back who can be explosive. Offensive line isn't particularly good. They just don't score the ball very well. They're going to need from Alabama all kinds of freaking benevolence. Alabama is going to have to go to church, listen to the preacher, and the preacher's going to say, even though he's not necessarily talking football, giving is a good thing. Being benevolent is a good thing. It's something you should strive to be and do as a human being. And somehow that seeps into the Alabama team, and they think it means in the ballgame. That's A&M's angle here. That's the only angle I can see. Johnny Manziel's not coming back through that door. You may say, well, Bill, Zach Gonzalez's not coming back through that door either, and he beat him. True. By the way, Calzada has been out, what is that, a shoulder? Harsin said here that he had surgery. He's done for the year. I don't know if he'd have been playing anyways for them. Pat, who'd you say we have on hold? Jason, welcome in, sir.
Hey, good morning, Bill.
What's up?
Wanted to talk about some Wisconsin football here just for a moment here. Let's go back 30 years when they brought in Barry Alvarez.
Yeah.
I can't think of another university, and keep in mind Wisconsin's athletic budget is kind of right around 20 to 25th overall. I can't think of another program that has basically stuck the landing with seemingly every basketball and football hire than Wisconsin over the last 30 years. Do you agree with that?
Who's the guy that they hired, though, right prior? That was not a good hire.
Oh, right before Barry Alvarez? Or
No. Right before the current coach.
Oh, they had – I think Gary Anderson was there at one
that
time.
That was not sticking. That was one where they didn't stick the landing.
Yeah, that was pretty short term that you just don't notice it big picture.
Correct.
I think with Paul Christ is, if you look at his body of work over the last 6 years, and I'm kind of a numbers guy, the recruiting rankings for Wisconsin have been better the last 3-4 years. They've been in the 20th percentile. When he started there, they were in the 30th percentile. So he's getting better recruits, but then the record's getting worse as well. And the quarterback development there just has not been there. They're still looking for the next Russell Wilson. And, you know, Iowa has the same problem, too. Just can't develop quarterbacks. You know, I mean, and last two's been pretty good. C.J. Beathard and Nate Stanley are both in the NFL. But I don't know with Wisconsin there. It's kind of like everybody keeps talking about, well, this is like, you know, firing Bo Pelini, but it's really kind of like firing Frank Solich, because it was starting to decline a little bit under Solich, but that was at levels that, you know, that was historical great levels that Nebraska had. And what we're seeing with Brett Bielema at Illinois is that Wisconsin style of football does work in the Big Ten West if you have good quarterback play, good running back, and most importantly, dominant lines of scrimmage. And we're just not seeing that with Wisconsin. The Washington State game was kind of a wake-up call. We know Ohio State's better than Wisconsin, but, boy, that game wasn't even close. I mean, Rutgers looked better against Ohio State than Wisconsin did.
I'm just wondering what direction they'll go.
I totally agree with you, Bill. I'm not sure. You know, I mean, are they going to change their style of play? I just don't see that. They've been playing the same style for a long time. You know, I mean, Nebraska was trying to change style out of that option football. They're trying to figure out what style they'll want to play. But we're just seeing Brett Bielema, for example, playing Wisconsin football at Illinois. And, boy, Illinois looks really good. And that Big Ten West is just awful. And I know that's the big national template is, boy, the Big Ten West is awful. But, boy, you know, lots of credit to Illinois. It's amazing how they lost that game to Indiana. I mean, they want that one back for sure.
Jason,
you're right with Wisconsin.
It.
I don't know the direction they're going to go.
Well, selfishly, I know where I'd like them to go because I know the guy, but we'll see about that.
Yeah. Well, one other point, too, Bill. You know, Dave Aranda used to be on that Wisconsin football staff with Paul Chris. He left to go to LSU, and then he went to Baylor, and we saw crazy success with him. Well, Wisconsin has a great asset in Jim Leonard as a defensive coordinator, and I think with all these coaches getting let go, I don't think Wisconsin wanted to lose Jim Leonard at all. You know, even though that Wisconsin defense hasn't looked so good the last two games, his body of work there has been outstanding the last 5-6 years. That's what I think a lot of this is about, is like they didn't want to lose Jim Leonard, so let's get Paul Christ out of there just to keep Jim Leonard long term. That's kind of the hunch I'm kind of seeing there. And plus, you know, the guy that's, you know, Barry Alvarez isn't the AD there anymore. Some other guy, that wasn't the guy that hired Chris. So when you have the AD that doesn't hire the football coach, you know, sometimes letting go is easier.
Does Leonard have a fighting chance to keep that job?
I'm not sure. I mean, he's a Wisconsin guy, just like Paul Christ. That's been the strength of Wisconsin the last 5-6 years is in their defense. You know, their offense has just not been as good as historical years. You know, it's a mirror of Iowa. Iowa's had really good defense, but that offense just has not been there. So it's similar problems that both schools are having. I don't know. It seems like they want to keep Jim Leonard. They don't want to see him go to some other school and have success like Dave Aranda did.
Yeah.
That's the one angle I could see there, Bill. Along with, you know, recruiting rankings being a little bit better and then the records getting worse and just doesn't look as good. I think they wanted to kind of pull the cord before it, you know, descended even more. You know,
Appreciate it, man.
And Wisconsin's one of those states too, Bill. You know this, they don't have that natural recruiting ground there, you know. So, I mean, they have to go outside of the state to bring in athletes, you know. They go to the state of Ohio, et cetera. So similar problems that Nebraska has, they just don't have that natural recruiting base. So that's going to be even more of a challenge with schools like that. So have a good one, Bill.
Yeah, man. I know where I want them to go. Because, again, I'm a selfish guy, right? I know the dude, but I don't really know what they're thinking in the moment. They may not know that either. They may be vetting all that. I'm sure they are. Jeff 2. Bill, Tennessee leads the series with LSU 20-10-3. LSU, though, has won the last 5 meetings. Game has been very close through the last 20 years, with the margin of victory being 9 points or less in 7 of the last 9 matchups since 2000. We were talking about the bouquet toss game of 05. Eric Ainge, back of the end zone, getting sacked, chucks the ball blindly. LSU defender catches it on about the 1-yard line and says, touchdown. LSU had, best I remember, a 21-point lead in that game, and somehow Tennessee came back and won it. 30-27 was the game, but that's not a historical matchup that people remember. I mean, like other rivalries or something, but it has some memories to it. LSU has problems, but they're a well-coached team. You can see when they play and they struggle offensively, and Jaden Daniels, who had a knee injury in that Auburn game, went out, what, in the fourth quarter? Brian Kelly says he's ready to go for the Tennessee game. But they struggle. They don't do a whole lot well offensively. If the quarterback gets loose and's running around Daniels, if he's able to do that now, that's effective. They're not really good in much other areas offensively. Not that would stand out to you. They certainly have their moments. I was talking to Blake about it too. Their receivers as a core now, we all think of Boutte, but as a core, have trouble getting open. Clyde in Detroit. Billy, Miss Gator Dave this morning, my coworker was telling me about having his knee replaced. I don't know, Clyde, you're probably smart. I mean, do you want to be mean to the guy and say, look, I'm trying to be patient with you, but I don't care about your knee? You can't say that. That'd be very insensitive. I'm trying to listen to a show here. Talk to somebody else about your knee replacement. Jeff 2. First time since 98, the Red River Shootout is a meeting between two unranked teams. In that game, unranked Texas beat unranked Oklahoma 34-3. Texas finished 9-3, ranked 15th. Oklahoma finished 5-6. That was John Blake's final season. Yeah, Bobby Stoops took over after that. Had some success, to say the least. Says that 98 Oklahoma team, that was John Blake's final season. The defensive coordinator was future NFL head coach Rex Ryan, son of Buddy Ryan. Coach C, think Wisconsin goes back after Bielema, Bill? I thought about that the other day, too. Don't know. That circle back thing very rarely happens, and it very rarely works. It just doesn't work. Who's been a coach at a college, left, and then a couple of coaches later came back? Johnny Majors did it. That did not work out at Pitt. John Robinson did it at Southern Cal. Second time wasn't very good. I'm sure I'm probably missing some. You folks tell me what I'm missing. There's probably a couple of others. And keep it to the college game. The pro game doesn't help me any. There's probably something really big out there I'm missing, but that's very rarely ever tried, and I don't know if it's very effective. Oh, Bill Snyder. That worked out okay. Now, it wasn't as good the second time, but they were pretty good. Kansas State. That's a big one I was skipping there. That one probably is the most successful, right? Johnny Vegas, rumor out of Vegas is Jim Leonard is the leader to be the new head coach. Rest of the year is his tryout. Johnny Vegas, I have a message for you. And no, Leonard, I think, has a fighting chance to keep it, considering he's family, if you will. Rod of Buckeye in Texas sent me an email, and he's thinking about he and his buddy's trip to Destin next spring, and he wanted your contact information. So if you want to DM me that, how can he get a hold of you? I think he wants a cruise. He wanted some information about, he said he's either coming to Nashville or he's going to Destin. Now, I live here, and I love it here, but if you can get down there to the Emerald Coast, that'd be my advice. Love to have you here, but I'm always here. Oh, Mack Brown. See, I skip Mack Brown. Right there in front of me now, Mack Brown. That's a pretty good one. That one's working out okay. When they circle back on Burt. Remember, Burt left for the money. I don't blame him. Arkansas's got unlimited money. Walmart, Tyson Chicken, Jerry Jones. I mean, they've got unlimited money. And Burt took the money. Good for Burt. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good Good morning. Still quite a bit of traffic volume coming in from Rutherford County on 24 up through the Hickory Hollow area. It's busy, but moving through Mount Julia right now. It's heavy, 40 west, coming out of Wilson County into Davidson. We've had a couple of wrecks this morning earlier over there on 440 eastbound just past Hillsboro Pike. Again, they got the vehicles over to the right-hand side on 440 eastbound, again, just past Hillsboro Pike. Ober Gatlinburg Restaurant and Lounge celebrating Oktoberfest. Check it out today, obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
It's a scorcher out there, but we've got tips that'll keep you chilling this August. Tip number one, keep your AC in peak condition. Tip number two, drink lots of fluids. Tip number three, go for refreshing top prizes up to a cool million by playing all new August Instant Games from the Tennessee Lottery. All of these exhilarating games can lead to cold hard cash. So head to the shade of your nearest Tennessee Lottery retailer and enjoy some game-changing fun today.
Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Please play responsibly.
From scholarship and grant programs to providing students with the qualifications and certifications they need to start their professional careers, the Tennessee Lottery has awarded more than $6.5 billion in funding to education programs, and we're proud to play our part. See for yourself how all of the fun of the Tennessee Lottery goes to supporting someone's future and a brighter tomorrow at tnlottery.com.
Hey Nashville, Ray here from Run With It. Let me tell you about our sponsor, Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House. And with four locations in Bellevue, Murfreesboro, Spring Hill, and East Nashville, they're your home for the best gourmet pizza and craft beers in Music City. Join me on Monday nights at the East Nashville location for poker night. And if you think you know everything, try Wednesday night trivia at both locations. Gourmet pizzas, craft beers, online at boomvozz.com. Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House.
Hey, football fans, the 2023 Commodore Sport Event posters are out and brought to you by these great sponsors: Master Battery, Ewing Bass Garage and Transmission, Nationwide Business Brother, Parker and Watts Insurance, Firefly Pediatric Dentistry, O-Line Concrete Service, Affordable Building Cleaning, Morton Plumbing, Shane Trucking and Excavating, Hargrove Body Shop, Frederick and Clark Realty, LLC, Richard Courtney. Brought to you and paid for by Prestige Marketing, LLC. Visit them online at PrestigeMarketingLLC.com.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast. For this morning, sunny with a high near 78. Clear tonight, low around 45. Sunny tomorrow, high near 80. Mostly clear tomorrow night with a low around 49. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Chris Stone.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Need to know anything about college football? Consult with the Encyclopedia Bill Tanaka every morning.
Yeah, I told you I'd leave some out. Greg Schiano. I left Greg Schiano out. I left Mike Riley out. And Johnny Vegas says, Bill, most successful rehire is Chris Ault at Nevada. Now, he took that job. Did he not take that job three different times, or am I not remembering that correctly? Now, he was the AD at one point at Nevada, and at one point, he was actually the AD and the head coach. Then he was just the AD, but then he fired the coach and took over the job. Took back over the job. I remember that. But didn't he take that job in some form or fashion three different times? Which I don't think has been duplicated. If I'm remembering that correctly, I don't think there's another one like that. Yeah, Bill Snyder, I did think of that one. Took me a second. I thought of that one. Mack Brown, I skipped over him. initially, and this comes from Coach C over in South Carolina. Bill, do you think Wisconsin will circle back on Burt? Got to remember, Burt played at Iowa, like the Stoops brothers. Burt played at Iowa. Would he be interested in going back, or is he happy where he is? Is it a situation where he likes what he's doing there? I'm sure he's happy. He's in the Big Ten. That's probably geographically his fit, I would think. Not every coach has to have a fit. I think he has to have a fit with Burt. That's the way I would look at that. Yeah, back to Alabama, and there's a lot of games to talk about. Alabama A&M game coming up, but I was impressed thoroughly with that offense when Milroe came in, and that is not a suggestion about Bryce Young. Bryce Young is a fantastic quarterback, just a different skill set. Milroe doesn't have the arm talent to play on another level, okay? But he's a fantastic athlete, and he certainly can play that position at Alabama. And starting with that 70-something yard run he had, that running game opened up immensely with him in the game. It's just a change. And that kid that got in trouble with Saban yesterday, who asked the question about would you put together a package, which, you know, Saban, God almighty. The best part of that is just Saban's body language and then what he said. But it was a legit question, and I don't necessarily fault Nick. I mean, why am I going to tell you what we're going to install? I don't think it would matter, but I understand that. From a coaching point of view, I get that part. But I think you do have to have some sort of, when Bryce Young gets back, whenever that is, right? I think you do have to have at least ready a package where you can use Milroe just to have the other team have to think about it and knowing what kind of threat this is. And I'm sure they've thought about this, and I'm sure they've... Now, they haven't used it like that yet, but after that performance... I think you have to change up a little bit. You got to get in your mind, and I'm sure they are, we've got areas we can go now with this offense that maybe we weren't doing based on what we just saw in Vietnam. Bryce Young comes back. He gets the job, obviously. He's the QB. But we just saw some things that we did not have heretofore that really make this offense way more diverse. The running game with Milroe in there is more threatening. And I think you have to make the other team now realize we've got other things we could do here that you didn't think we had. So it was a legitimate question. The poor kid, I mean, give him credit. I'm sure he probably knew maybe he'll get his head bitten off for that. And I don't even know who that guy was. I have no idea who that was in the press conference, but it is a good idea. Blake Norman, Buckeye. Bill, Wisconsin will not hire Burt back. They hate him in Madison. Their next guy is either Leonard or Leipold. Well, again, I know who I kind of hope it is because I know the dude. That'd be good. Hawkeye Jason says, up at Wisconsin, slim and none. Bielema winning the big three consecutive seasons is comparable to Kansas winning the Orange Bowl. And Barry Alvarez and Wisconsin didn't want to pay the man and his staff. Plus, Burt was born in Illinois, played at Iowa. Wisconsin was a promotion from Ferentz. Staff. Yeah, I. It doesn't really add up that they would circle back there. Wisconsin's a good gig. And Wisconsin is a good gig. You can win at Wisconsin. You can win double digits there. We know this. We've seen it various times. You can line up with a big offensive line and stud running backs, sometimes plural running backs, and bully people at Wisconsin. You're not going to out-athlete the upper echelon in Wisconsin. That's just, that's baked in. You already know that. But you can physically line up and bully people. You're not going to out-athlete Ohio State. Or if you happen to get in the playoffs in Alabama or Georgia, you're not going to out-athlete them, no. That's not happening at Wisconsin. You can line up, though, and get into a phone booth and fight them. You can do that. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Still quite a bit of traffic volume coming in from Rutherford County on 24 up through the Hickory Hollow area. It's busy, but moving through Mount Juliet right now. It's heavy, 40 west, coming out of Wilson County into Davidson. We've had a couple of wrecks this morning earlier over there on 440 eastbound just past Hillsboro Pike. Again, they got the vehicles over to the right-hand side on 440 eastbound, again, just past Hillsboro Pike. Ober Gatlinburg Restaurant and Lounge celebrating Oktoberfest. Check it out today, obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
The Omni Nashville Hotel, located 5th Avenue downtown, and proud sponsor of the Mid-State Checkdown High School Football Game of the Week, is Nashville's premier destination for the highest quality accommodations. Start your day with a cup of Bongo Java and the biscuit bar at Kitchen Notes. Indulge your taste with the best beef in Music City at Bob's Steak and Chop House. And wrap yourself in luxury at Makara Day Spa before enjoying a nightcap at Bar Lines. And when it comes time to host those holiday partings and gatherings of family, let the Omni Nashville Hotel take all the worry off your plate. Proud sponsor of the Mid-State Checkdown High School Football Game of the Week, and located in the heart of Music City, the Omni Nashville Hotel is your only choice. The Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue downtown.
Realtors abide by a code of ethics. This is Article 9 in action. Beth, a first-time homebuyer, knew nothing about the home buying process, except that she wanted to buy a home. But her realtor had the expertise to make sure Beth understood every document, even giving her copies to review with her lawyer so Beth could close on her first home with confidence. Complicated things explained in simple terms. The difference between an agent and a realtor is real. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors. That's who we are.
From the big game to the big dance, Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel downtown is your game day and watch party headquarters. Don't worry about entertaining guests and trying to feed everyone. Sit back, relax, cheer on your team, and let the Bar Lines staff take care of you. Grab a Bar Lines signature cocktail and enjoy some wicked deviled eggs. Or a Bar Lines double stack and finish it off with some Jack and Coke chocolate cake. Bust your belly and your bracket at Bar Lines. Located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue downtown.
This is the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show.
Former Titans coach Jeff Fisher.
Who's grumpy this morning?
Coach, I'm not grumpy.
John, I mean, hey, John.
Yeah.
Pull your head out of your butt. Get yourself in a better mood.
I'll do my best, coach. Thanks for the pep talk.
Okay.
You just made a promo for him.
Greg Pogue and News Channel 5's John Burton. WNSR. Nashville Sports Radio.
Often imitated, never duplicated. Wordsmithing like a mofo on college football, it's Bill King.
Griff coming up about 20 minutes into hour three. Mike Griffith, AJC's Dog Nation. Good question. Your top water assassin who is in South Carolina. He's a Clemson guy, and they're playing pretty well right now. DJ's playing pretty well right now. But this is a good question. He asks, have you ever talked to a coach that admitted, probably off the record, that they wish that they would have stayed at a previous school? Yes. Now, here's what doesn't get mentioned ever publicly. Reasons why a coach leaves. Now, again, Burt left for the money. Arkansas is willing to spend, and Wisconsin wasn't. That could be a reason. But I've had coaches say, in a couple of examples, I left because my wife hated the city where we were. She didn't like it. She was not going to get over it. That's why I left. I've had, now again, I haven't had a bunch of coaches. I've had maybe two coaches tell me this. So, and he didn't want to leave. He liked it. He was comfortable. He thought that was a place where they could settle and be happy, win, and live happily ever after, all of that, right? But Mama was not going to get happy. She did not like it there, wasn't going to adapt, wasn't going to get over it, and therefore, I made the decision. Happy wife, happy life, that cliche, all of that stuff, right? Mama ain't happy, nobody's going to be happy. Now again, I haven't heard that a bunch. I've heard that twice, I think. Yes, there are coaches who will look back and absolutely, probably not wanting to tell you, wished I hadn't have done that. I think that probably happens more than we think. I mean, Patino has said, this is a basketball example, he probably shouldn't have left Kentucky, but he left Boston. The Celtics were offering him $7 million a year. This is 1990. This is the spring of 98. So almost 25 years ago, that's good money today. And so I've heard him mention that. But again, at the time, I mean, if I'm sitting there and they're going to offer me triple what I'm making or whatever it is. I don't know. What was he making? He's probably making three. So over double maybe. 2 to 3. I mean, the 2 to 3 back then is the 7 to 8 to 9 now. But I've had coaches tell me that, yes, I ultimately left because the wife did not like it there. She didn't like the city. She didn't like the neighborhood. She didn't like where we went shopping. She didn't like the country club. She did not like it. Mama was not happy. So, yes, I've had that happen. Josh in London, Ohio. Bill, Council Bluffs, 2 o'clock today. Kansas, Rock, Chalk, Jayhawk, KU versus that team up north. What do you think? Michigan would be favored by what? A touchdown? I'm just guessing. I'm not your odds maker, guys. So don't hold me to that. That's not what I do. I'm not Mr. Sit Down and Come Up With the Odds guy. That's for Brad and everybody else. It's not for me. Michigan would win that game, but it would be a hard fought. And the next day or that night, you'd have a lot of people with bloody noses, a lot of bruising, maybe some cauliflower ear. It'd be a tough game. Because Kansas will get into a phone booth with you and fight you to the end. Led by their head coach, who that's the way he goes about things. It'd be an interesting game. I don't know that I think Kansas could pull that game off. It's funny. I'm glad Josh brought this up. It's funny because historically, that's a laughable idea. Kansas, Michigan, Council Bluffs, 2 o'clock. Let's do it. Historically, that's laughable, right? Historically, that's a 42-3 game. Today, And it's not because Michigan's bad. Michigan's a solid program coming off a Big Ten championship, which is hard to do. It's because Kansas is up significantly from their historical average, which is pathetic. That's what's so good about what Josh brought up there. That'd be a hard-fought ball game. It would be a good ball game. It'd be a fun game to watch. I'd like to be right there where you could see the line of scrimmage and just spend part of my time just watching the trench warfare there. That'd be good. Yeah, Michigan would win. Let me give you – you want the score? So if I give you the score, we don't have to play the game. We could spare both these teams the last-minute travel and all that to Council Bluffs. Michigan wins that game 27-21. I just gave you the score. I mean, you can play it if you want. I'm just telling you that's the score. Very hard-fought game. Michigan, the next morning, doesn't want to get out of bed. It hurts too much. We won, but I'm not feeling it right now. I'm not feeling so good, and it's Sunday morning, and I'm trying to get to church. Griff, about 20 minutes into hour three. Happy Tuesday to y'all. Omni Nashville Hotel.